So it's good to be back. And we've been in, over the summer, we've been doing this series on sound bites from heaven. We've been looking at Proverbs and a variety of these little sound bites, these one-liner, two-liner, three-liners. And so we're going to wrap that up this morning. Next week, we're going to launch a series that I'm calling When I Need a Miracle. And we're going to spend 2 or 3 weeks working our way through that. So I think that'll be beneficial. But we want to wrap this up this morning. Some of the Proverbs are difficult to understand. You got to grapple with them a little bit, figure out what he's trying to communicate. You know, it's not just a simple thing. This morning, we're going to look at maybe one of the simplest, clearest, what I'm calling this morning, the pinnacle of the Proverbs. It's the Prince of the Proverbs. It is the high point in the entire book. It is the most significant proverb that is written by the writer. And it's one of those famous passages that's just absolutely core if you're going to live out the Christian life at all. If you're going to have a relationship with God, then you have to weave this into your life because it is so central to what the Christian life is. And so, you know, as you can tell this morning, I wanted you to be able to see it in case you didn't bring your Bible. I just stuck it right on the outline. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And what I would like us to do this morning is to read it together out loud. I'd like us just together as a church to read this thing, proclaim this thing, and so that it begins to weave itself into our thinking. So would you read this with me? All right, you ready? And be bold now. Don't be kind of wimpy on me. Don't be giving me that church. Give it to me strong, like you halfway believe this deal, okay, right? All right, here we go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. This is core right here. And I hope it's in your Fave 5. I hope if you've got favorite verses, this is up there as one of the competitors. And I remember I was maybe 19 years old. I was new at following Jesus, and I was just starting to memorize a lot of verses, and this was one of the very first things I memorized. And I went digging around. I have no idea why I still have it, but I have the 3x5 card I originally used to memorize the verse. And, you know, I did what I did, and I have the address on this side and the words on this side, and I memorized it. I think it was the spring of 74. I was 19, I think, maybe 20. And back in the day, I would put up in the corner kind of an idea of what it was about just as a category, and I just wrote the word trust. Just trust. I mean, these are verses about learning to trust the Lord. And I know for me, these words are sort of a North Star that guide my life, guide your life. And so this morning, we're going to spend some time. We're going to dig into these four little stanzas. It's not long. It's not complicated. But it is rich. It is deep. It is foundational. It is core. And it is something every one of us need. You know, in Scripture, there are some things that are hard to grasp. They're just hard to get your head around. You know, it's hard to understand. It's hard to really fully grab. You know, and then there are other things that I think are hard to apply. They're hard to put into practice. It's a real challenge. It's a whole total lifestyle change. You know, and but there are other things that I think are just hard to remember. They're not hard to understand. They're not hard to apply. They're just hard to keep from the frontal lobe. They're like water through a sieve, and it just leaks away on you. And honestly, that's what I feel like these verses are. They're not hard to understand. It's just four short verses. You could memorize it in a day, 2 days, 3 days max. It's just not hard to memorize. They're not hard to understand. It's straightforward, simple English. It's not hard to apply. But what I find is it's hard to remember, not the words, but the lifestyle. I get caught up in life. I get caught up in something, and all of a sudden, I just forget to live by trust in the Lord. I forget that the core here, that this wisdom, that this real life, and I think it's hard to remember because it is so counterintuitive to how we live. That to trust the Lord with every arena and aspect of your life is counterintuitive because we've spent our whole lives. It's not that we distrust the Lord. It's just we tend to trust ourselves more, right? It's not we have this tendency to lean on our own understanding. We're going to figure this thing out, right? We have this natural tendency to hold back parts of our lives. But what the proverb, the writer, what Solomon is giving us here is this incredible bedrock wisdom of living a life of faith in the Lord. And these verses are absolutely critical for your spiritual and your emotional health. The life of lived trusting God all through the day is what gives you peace. It what gives you a sense of His presence. And so my goal is to take some very familiar words and walk through them again. For some of you, this may be brand new. Maybe you're new to the Bible and the whole thing. Maybe this is a whole new deal. It'll set you free. For others of you like me who've seen these things for 4 decades, I need the constant, fresh washing and reminder. And so we're gonna just wallow in these verses for a few minutes. And one of the things I've done this morning, that I maybe have done one other time, is that the outline are just the verses. You know, usually I give you some clever point, something I hope will stick, some soundbite that you'll remember. Well, this morning, all I did was give you the verse. If you want to fill in all your blanks, all you got to do is move the verses down into the blanks. Now, I know I'm at risk here. I know you guys, and I know how you operate, because I watch you every Sunday, is that once I give you that final fill-in-the-blank bullet point, most of you then take your, I mean, it's where is mine? Right here. Here's how it works. I watch it. You've got your bulletin. You write that last one in. There may be 30 minutes left in the message. You write that in. You fold it up. You stick it in your Bible. You close it. We're done here. Right? We're done here. So for some of you, you fill in these blanks, you're done. You can just take a nap, work on your grocery list, whatever, but you're going to miss some really good stuff. Okay? and we're just going to use these. I don't want to complicate this. It is so simple. And the best things in life are simple. We think they ought to be complicated because it makes us feel smarter, but they're not. The best things in life are so simple. So we're going to look at this thing. We're going to work our way through it. And what you got to understand is Solomon, as he crafts these words, the Lord, as he speaks, what he's telling us is his presupposition is that life is crooked. Right? Life, your life, my life is filled with all kinds of twists and turns and unexpected things in front of us. What we want, what he kind of promises, that we'll have these straight paths. What we want is linear. We want everything to work, cause and effect. We want everything to be easy, laid out, straightforward in front of us. But our lives are like a bowl of spaghetti with it all knotted up. It's not straight. You know, it's a long and a windy road, and you have shortfalls and windfalls and good, bad, it's all mixed in there together. And some of the crookeds in your life are minor. Some of them are major, right? Sometimes there's a few little twists, and sometimes it's just a switchback roads that you're in the middle of. And some of you, your lives have twisted on you this week, right? Maybe you just had a fender bender this week, and it just sent your whole week tumbling out of way. You know, maybe you had a health scare. Maybe you went into the doctor and you didn't think there was anything wrong. And all of a sudden they said, you got to come back. We need more tests. You know, maybe you had an argument, a fight with somebody in your family, and it's now got the whole family, or maybe it was somebody else, the whole family's in an uproar. You know, maybe. Look, I remember, I was thinking about this. So I don't know why I was thinking on this. But the week my mom died, it was about 5.5 years ago now. The week my mom died, we knew she was dying, and we'd taken her home, and she was on hospice. We'd moved her bed from the bedroom to the living room, and my sister and I and my dad were there taking care of her, and the other family was going to come later, and we were all there. And so just death alone is this twist in the road. You know it's coming. You know it's inevitable. I knew she was dying. It wasn't a surprise. But even that's a twist. You know, it's not what we want life to be, and but we were working our way through it. And then all of a sudden, in a 24-hour period, Mom had a couple of health things happen. My sister had one of her daughters, my niece, had a run-in with the law. My sister, who has a stroke back in the past and as a result has these migraines, I get up in the middle of the night and I go into the, you know, it was 2 bedrooms and there's a common, you know, kind of a bathroom, and then anyway, it doesn't matter, but I walk in and I find her on the floor, just in agony from a migraine, trying to give herself a shot so that to deal with this thing. And I get up in the morning and toss something in my mouth and break a tooth. And I'm thinking, the road was already twisty enough. And I tell you all that because all of a sudden I found all of these verses here that are so good. I couldn't remember them. It's like, Lord, what in the heck's going on? Because see, that's what happens. When our roads twist on us, so often our instinctive move is to say, Lord, what are you doing? Where'd you go? What's going on? This isn't good. But the more that we can instinctively and foundationally live these out, the more joy and peace you have, the more consumed with the twists and turns of your life you become, then the more your joy erodes and worry and stress takes its place. You with me on that? And so this is foundational. Now, again, it's very simple. Now, it gets a little complicated in that God's favorite method for growing you are the twists and the turns. He wants desperately for you to trust him. And we only learn to trust him when we need him. So we need the twists and the turns to get there. And that's how this thing gets. So anyway, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. Let's take this apart. 4 points, 4 stanzas. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Really, it's not hard to understand, is it? Put all your confidence. Your heart is the core of who you are. It's the center of who you are. It's the most important part of who you are. It says, take yourself, your whole self, and trust me with it. In all that you are, it's the idea of complete dependence on the Lord. It's that the primary goal, the primary is for you to walk by faith in the Lord. Now look, men and women, there are two primary paths that you and I take. We're going to take one or the other as we try to live out the Christian life. You are going to be either driven by the idea that your goal is to please God, okay? Or the other option is your goal is to trust God. You with me on that? Either you think your primary responsibility as a Christian is to please God or to trust God. That these are not the same things. And right now, your DNA, the way you're wired up, you are drawn one to the other. One puts you in the ditch, and one gives you a life of freedom. Okay, because see, if you think mentally, maybe your background or maybe whatever it is, if you think your primary responsibility is to please God, there's a whole mess of pressure on you, right? You got to do it right. You got to do it, and it leads to this whole performance thing. And all of a sudden, when things come up in your life, you begin, well, life went sideways because I've done something wrong. Something is amiss. I need to fix it. And in your mind, what you think is that if you will do things right, if you will live a life pleasing to God, then God will smile on you and love you all the more. And you keep trying to earn his favor. You keep trying to somehow live in such a way that he's going to love you more. Okay, that's completely contrary to living a life of trusting the Lord. Trusting the Lord is a life that says, I'm going to trust that Jesus loves me. I'm going to trust that Jesus died for me. I'm going to trust that God is good. I'm going to trust that God has a plan. I'm going to lean on that. And when my life goes sideways, rather than taking the blame, rather than trying to fix it, I'm going to say, God, I'm going to trust you in the midst of this, that you're doing something good for me. These are not the same thing. And is it bad to please the Lord? Well, of course not. But pleasing the Lord is a byproduct of trusting the Lord. Hebrews says it this way, without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so some of you this morning, you've walked in here and what drives you is you keep trying to find a way to make God happy. He's your parent that you're trying to satisfy. And there's a whip at your back driving you that you keep under this pressure to perform and to be and to do. Whereas God has already said, I love you exactly as you are. We just celebrated communion where he has died for you. He's poured out his blood for you, past, present, and future. All your sins are forgiven. There is nothing left to prove. And what God wants from this is simply trust me and love me. That's what he wants from you. And once you begin to do that, well, then you begin to please him. See, you'll never please God through your efforts. We will only please God. We'll only trust God. We'll only become like God, transformed when we trust God. And so the core to life is learning to trust God. And it's what he says, trust the Lord with all your heart, with all that you are. And it's not a blind faith. You're not just jumping off into nothingness. You trust God because he's proven himself trustworthy. You trust God because over and over and over again, the scriptures lay it out. Experience bears it out. You trust God but because he is trustworthy, because our faith is built on facts. The facts of who God is, what he said, what he's done. So we trust him. Now, how many of you, my wife is part of this. Sorry, babe, I forgot to tell you I was going to say this. How many of you are part of something on, I don't know if it's Facebook or on, something next door or something or other, some neighborhood thing? How many of you guys are part of that? Let me see your hands. Is that a Facebook thing? Is that where it is? No, it's not. It's an app. It's an app. And all the neighborhoods have this. My son is on next door something or other. Now, Susan tells me what she sees, and some of it's like just silly nonsense, But inevitably what happens is people turn to it and say, hey, my AC broke. What AC repair guy do you guys recommend, right? And everybody in the neighborhood chimes in. Or they'll say, my car broke, and people chime in. And they use it as a place to find trustworthy folks, right? You don't deal with a banker who's corrupt. You don't go take your car to somebody with a reputation for ripping people off. We trust God because, a vast cloud of witnesses for thousands of years has said he is trustworthy. We trust God because the word of God shows us that he's trustworthy. We trust God because in our own experience, he's demonstrated himself trustworthy. And so when he says, trust the Lord with all your hearts, trust the one who has demonstrated he's trustworthy, that he is able to handle whatever comes our way. Right? One of my friends has a clever way of communicating all this, that God is trustworthy, and he has all these C's. He says that God is conscious. He is aware of what's going on in my life. He knows the path and what's ahead of me. That God is concerned. He cares about what's going on in my life. He is consistent. I can count on him. And he is capable. He's able. He can do whatever I need. He can accomplish what's in front of us. And so God is trustworthy. We don't always know what God is doing, but we know that he is good. I love what Elsa Einstein says about her husband, Albert, here on the outline there. It says, no, I don't understand my husband's theory of relativity, but I know my husband, and I know he can be trusted. I don't understand the mind of God, but I know he can be trusted. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Second stanza is this. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. The idea here is that we don't lean on our capacity to sort everything out. We don't lean on our own abilities to work out the complexities and the twists of life. We don't try to carry ourselves, right? We don't let our understanding hold us up. Why? Because we're not God, right? We can trust God because of who he is. We can't trust ourselves because of who we are. Men and women, we remember, you are where you are because of your very best thinking, okay? The mess you're in, you got there by using your very best skills. And it's not enough, right? We're not always that sharp. Two true stories. I love these. First is the guy buys an RV, a recreational vehicle, right? A home on wheels, a living room on wheels. He buys this thing to go out and cruise the open road. And he takes off on his first voyage, and he's going out. He's loving the countryside. He gets a little hungry, so he sets the cruise control and goes to the back to make a sandwich. Right? Not the sharpest tool in the shed. Another guy, a professor, a science professor, a brilliant, brilliant guy is in his office, and he sees wasps, beginning at 1, 2, 3 wasps in his room, and he discovers there's a nest. And so the way he decides to deal with it, I think he's actually pretty smart, he gets a vacuum cleaner, gets the extension hose, and sucks them in one by one, which is really smart. Until he realized that it's one of those with the glass container, and he could see the wasp, and they're flying around, and they're really ticked. And they're inside this thing. So now he's saying, how am I going to get rid of them? And he comes up with this brilliant idea. Is he gets a can of wasp spray. Say that fast. Wasp spray. And then he sprays it into the nozzle. Now, do you see the problem yet? Right? Have you ever gotten a lighter and a can of hairspray or something and used it as a blowtorch? Right. He turns it, he sprays it into a vacuum cleaner, which is what? It's an electric engine. It is running and it has sparks. And as the wasp spray goes in, it hits the sparks and it explodes. And the vacuum cleaner explodes and shards of the plastic go everywhere and cut him all up. And if that's not enough, now the wasps are really ticked and they sting him, right? See, we're just not the sharpest tool in the shed. And so it should be easy when somebody says, don't lean on your own understanding. We're going, no kidding. But we tend to go, but why? I'm just so smart, right? And what God is saying is that he is the sharp one. He is able. He is conscious of all I need. He is concerned about my life. He's consistent in every area. He's capable to do everything that I need. And the truth is, we are not. And so this lean not on your own understanding is a statement of humility. It's bringing you and me to a place of dependence where I recognize my limitations. And I come to that place of saying, God, I can't. I can't. I've tried. I've given years, decades of my life, and I can't handle this. I can't fix this. I can't change this, whatever it may be. So that you're saying, Lord, I'm not going to lean on my abilities. I'm not going to lean on my understanding. I'm going to lean on you and your abilities and your understanding, and I'm going to trust you with all of this. Because God on his worst day is better than us on our best day. You know, it's just fascinating, isn't it? That God, this morning, if you're here and your life's a little twisty, then you are drinking this stuff up. And what you're saying is, thank you, I needed to hear this. But if you're not at a point of need, it's like water on a duck's back. And God allows the need, the twist, the hunger, in order for us to go, God, thank you, I need this. You have to come to your own limitations. You have to come to that place where you can't handle it so that you're finally able to say, Lord, I'll trust you instead. See, and then he leads to this third stanza where he says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. That's not repetition. You know, it's not just saying the same thing. What he's saying is that's different. He's saying is that we have to learn to trust God in every arena of our lives, in all my ways, in all the arenas, in all of the places of my life. But this is what gets us in trouble, because once you become a believer, there are parts of your life that you're really kind of going, God, I want you to take this, and you take this, and you take this, and you take this, and you have all of these things, but these things over here, this 1, 2, 3, 4 things, I'm going to hang on to this. And men and women, right now, for every one of us in this room, there are 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 things that you're struggling to let go and trust God with. You know, it may be that it's just too painful. It may be that you just can't let it go out of fear. It may be that you're too ashamed. I don't know what it is. But there are these places, and what he's calling us to is trust God in every part of your life. Now look, this afternoon, if I were to get Susan and some of my buds, and we were to just come to your house, we give you about a half an hour's notice, and we're going to just come over, we're going to have coffee, we're going to have some Dr. Pepper, a little Nectar of the Gods, we're going to have some, you know, whatever, we're going to bring it all. And we're just going to come over and watch some golf or the ball game. We're going to hang. If we were to show up at your house, you got about 30 minutes notice. What I know to be true of every one of you is there is a room or a closet that you're going to basically say, do not look in there. Right? Don't go out in my garage. Don't go in this bedroom. There's that place that you're going to pick everything up and you're going to throw it in there. And then you're going to slam the door and say, hey, welcome to our home, but do not go in there. Now, for us, it's the front door. You know, that's the way we operate, because, you know, but there's always that place, right? I mean, don't we all have the room where all the junk goes? Don't we all have that place? And see, that's kind of the way we do with God. God, hey, have free roam of the house, but not this place. I'm going to trust you in all these areas, but not this place. And we have this keep out sign, this off limits sign. And it's not that we don't trust God, it's not that we don't love God, but for one reason or another, we're not going to let God in there. It might be our money. You might be saying, God, I can trust you with everything else, but when it comes to the cash, God's got to be under control. You know, it might be your kids, where they're just so important to you that you have a hard time letting them go. It might be your friends. It might be your sex life, where you're saying, God, I want you to tell me everything to do, but don't be telling me how to live sexually. And it might be alcohol. It could be any number of places. They're not all bad things. I mean, the disciples, there's this moment where Jesus gets in the boat and he says, let's go out to shore. And what's so interesting, the way the disciples phrase it, because several of them are fishermen, they live on the water, they basically say, Jesus, you're a carpenter, you're a teacher, this is our world. We live in the boat, we live on the water. Jesus, you just go to the back of the boat and chill. We got this. We got this. We know what we're doing right here. You're in our world now. And Jesus does it. He goes to the back of the boat and goes to sleep because he's trust God. And the next thing you know, there's a huge storm and everything's going crazy. And the disciples are suddenly going, Jesus, don't you care? And it's why they basically said, in the boat, Jesus, we got this. We don't need your help. We got this. And look, I'll be honest. We had a couple of minutes. I could tell you the 1, 2, 3 areas of my life right now is kind of like, God, I don't. This is where I'm struggling to trust you. These are the 2, 3 things that I'm just having a hard time. I can feel my chest tighten up, I can tell, because there's this place. And it's not that I'm saying, God, I don't want your help. It's that I'm afraid to let it go, right? And what he says, in all your ways, in every arena, no keep out signs, no off limit signs, that I want to trust God with all that I have. And what I keep wanting to believe is that I just can't, but I know the truth is I just won't, because it's work to wrestle myself over and say, I am going to let it go and I am going to trust you. I know you're good, God, but fear, whatever it may be, makes us want to hang on to that. And so the psalmist says, you want to live well? You want your path straight? In every arena of your life, in every room, in every closet, trust the Lord. And it ought to be easy. We just look at what Jesus died for us. He gave himself up on the cross for us. He volunteered for that duty. The Lord loves us. And we know how silly and goobery we are. And yet there's still that place we say, Lord, I just struggle here. But real freedom is when you're able to say, Lord, any area, completely, I trust you. I trust you to provide the paycheck this month. I trust you to take care of my kids as they wander. I trust you to deal with this habit. I trust you completely in every arena. And look, I've never met a person who's done that, who's given it all up, that has regretted the decision, because it's the path of freedom and peace and joy. And that's what leads to the fourth stanza, right? He will make your paths straight. Here's the promise. Trust the Lord with all that you are. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't trust your own abilities. You know, in all your ways, in every arena, acknowledge that God is God. And the result, the promise, is he will make your path straight. Life works. That when you begin to trust the Lord instead of yourself. Now, you know, don't get offline here. Don't hear me say, straight paths, and suddenly you begin to believe that all of the problems go away and your life no longer has any twists or turns or crooks in it. That's not the promise. Don't believe for a moment that if you begin to trust the Lord perfectly, then all of a sudden you're going to be healthy and wealthy and happy, that all of a sudden you're going to be popular and thin and comfortable. Now, it's not at all what he's saying. What he's saying is that your feet will be stable as you walk the path, that your peace will be overflowing, that there will be joy in the midst of the twists and the turns, right? That you will be able to walk hand in hand with the Lord in the midst of the path, and it will be a straight, good path where you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is good and His plan is good, even though you may not like where you are and even though you may not like what's going on. It's this confidence that God has not abandoned, that He is at work, that your life is not meaningless, that He is leading you, He is guiding you, and it's out of His goodness that the twists and the turns are coming in order to draw you into a deeper faith, a more consistent faith, a closer relationship with Him so that there's nothing between you anymore. And so God, sometimes as you walk by faith, He does exactly what you want Him to do. Sometimes when you trust Him, the road goes exactly where you want it to go, and it is smooth. But many times, it's still got the bumps and the twists, but they no longer derail you. They no longer put you in the ditch. There's peace, there's trust, there's joy in the midst of it. That's the great promise of the passage. It's that as you trust God with all you are, you admit your limitations, that you can't do this thing and you're not going to lean on your own abilities, and as you give God access to all that you are, then there is a path, there is a walk, there is a relationship that still has twists, but it is filled with a confidence and a hope that we don't have. Men and women, the twists in your life for today are designed by God to draw you to Him, to trust Him, not to put pressure on yourself to please Him, but to trust Him, to fall in love with Him. Where is it? Where is it today? Why is it that God brought you here? Why are you sitting in this room this morning to hear this message? Is it because you need to step forward and trust God more? Maybe is it because you need to wrestle yourself over to say, I'm going to stop not trusting you. Is it because there's some part of your life where you said, no, God, I will not trust you with this. I will handle it. Why are you here? Why has God brought you here out of His love? He has a good thing to do in your life. And maybe it's simply because faith is hard. Taking the most valuable parts of you and your life and putting them in somebody else's hands is actually hard. To trust Him with all that you are, to stop leaning on yourself at all, to give Him access is actually difficult. In some ways it's so easy, why not? But other ways you wrestle yourself around to do it. But that's where our path becomes straight, and that's our hope. Let's pray, you guys. Why don't you take a moment with the Lord where you are and maybe talk through these areas that you're grappling through trusting Him. Father, I thank You that You are infinitely patient, that You love us at a level we will never fully grasp or comprehend. I thank You, Lord, that You are at work teaching us as little kids what it means to trust You. And I thank You, Lord, that every day in every way that You are doing something to lead us deeper into that simply because You love us. You're not mad. You are tender. And You bring the twists, the turns that we need, individually need, so that we can become more and more the men and the women You want us to be. So we thank You for that. Lord, I pray for myself. I pray for my friends as we grapple with what it means to trust You with all our heart, to really lean on You and not ourselves, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray that today You would enable each of us to take that next step. Whatever that step may be, to take that next step in leaning more into You so that we would become more and more the men and the women You want us to be. Lord, set us free from trying to please You, that we would learn to be content in trying to trust You. And Lord, we pray these things in your very, very precious name. Amen.